The next LOS is to describe functions and responsibilities of a company's board of directors and its committees. A company may have any number of directors on its board. Companies often have directors with expertise in specific areas of the firm's business, such as risk management, finance, or industry strategy. In a one-tier board, there is a single board of directors that includes both internal and external directors. Internal directors, also called executive directors, are typically senior managers employed by the firm. External board members, also called non-executive directors, are those who are not company management. Non-executive directors who have no other relationship with the company are termed independent directors. Employee board representatives may be a significant portion of the non-executive directors. In a two-tier board structure, there is a supervisory board that typically excludes executive directors. The supervisory board and the management board, made up of executive directors, operate independently. The management board is typically led by the company's CEO. With a one-tier board, the chairman of the board is sometimes the company CEO. While this was common practice in the United States historically, separation of the CEO and chairman of the board functions has become more common in recent years. When a lead independent director is appointed, he has the ability to call meetings of the independent directors separate from meetings of the full board. Currently, the general practice is for all board member elections to be held at the same meeting and each election to be for multiple years. With a staggered board, elections for some board positions are held each year. This structure limits the ability of shareholders to replace board members in any one year and is used less now than it has been historically. The board of directors is elected by shareholders to act in their interest. Board members are typically mandated by corporate law to be fully informed and to use due diligence and their expertise in fulfilling their obligation to act in the interests of the company and its shareholders. The board of directors is not involved in the day-to-day management of the company. That responsibility rests with senior management. The duties of the board include responsibility for selecting senior management, setting their compensation and bonus structure, evaluating their performance, and replacing them as needed, setting the strategic direction for the company, and making sure that management implements the strategy approved by the board, approving capital structure changes, significant acquisitions, and large investment expenditures, reviewing company performance and implementing any necessary corrective steps, planning for continuity of management and the succession of the CEO and other senior managers, establishing, monitoring, and overseeing the firm's internal controls and risk management system, and ensuring the quality of the firm's financial reporting and internal audit, as well as oversight of the external auditors. A board of directors typically has committees made up of board members with particular expertise. These committees report to the board, which retains the overall responsibility for the various board functions. The following are examples of typical board committees. An audit committee is responsible for oversight of the financial reporting function and implementing of accounting policies, effectiveness of the company's internal controls and the internal audit function, recommending an external auditor and its compensation, and proposing remedies based on their review of internal and external audits. A governance committee is responsible for oversight of the company's corporate governance code, implementing the company's code of ethics and policies regarding conflicts of interest, monitoring changes in relevant laws and regulations, and ensuring that the company is in compliance with all applicable laws and regulations, as well as with the company's governance policies. A compensation committee or remuneration committee recommends to the board the amounts and types of compensation to be paid to directors and senior managers. This committee may also be responsible for oversight of employee benefit plans and evaluation of senior managers. A risk committee informs the board about appropriate risk policy and risk tolerance of the organization and oversees the enterprise-wide risk management processes of the organization. An investment committee reviews and reports to the board on management proposals for large acquisitions or projects, sale or other disposal of company assets or segments, and the performance of acquired assets and other large capital expenditures. The number and size of board committees will depend on the size, complexity, and nature of the business. Regulations often require that firms have audit committees. Financial services firms are often required to have a risk committee as well. Some companies combine two functions into one committee. The composition of a board committee is often based on its function, with audit committees, compensation committees, and governance committees often made up of only non-executive or independent directors. Next, we have an LOS that requires us to describe market and non-market factors that can affect stakeholder relationships and corporate governance. Several capital market factors can affect corporate governance and stakeholder relationships. Companies that work to have more communication and contact with shareholders, in addition to annual meetings and analyst meetings, have improved relations with shareholders who may be more likely to support management proposals and positions in the event of negative comments or pressure for change from dissident shareholder groups. Activist shareholders pressure companies in which they hold a significant number of shares for changes, often changes they believe will increase shareholder value. They may bring pressure for change by initiating shareholder lawsuits or by seeking representation on the board of directors. Other activist tactics include proposing shareholder resolutions for a vote and raising their issues to all shareholders or the public to gain wider support. Hedge funds have, more and more, engaged in shareholder activism to increase the market values of firms in which they hold significant stakes. A group may initiate a proxy fight, in which they seek the proxies of shareholders to vote in favor of their alternative proposals and policies. An activist group may make a tender offer for a specific number of shares of a company to gain enough votes to take over the company. Both senior managers and boards of directors can be replaced by shareholders if they believe company performance is poor and would be improved by a change. The threat of a hostile takeover, one not supported by the company's management, can act as an incentive to influence company managements and boards to pursue policies more in alignment with the interests of shareholders and oriented towards increasing shareholder value. Issues of corporate governance and conflicts of interest arise when company management proposes and the board passes anti-takeover measures to protect their jobs. Staggered board elections make a hostile takeover more costly and difficult. An important non-market factor that can affect stakeholder relationships is the legal environment within which the company operates. Shareholders' and creditors' interests are considered to be better protected in countries with a common law system under which judges' rulings become law in some instances. In a civil law system, judges are bound to rule based only on specifically enacted laws. In general, the rights of creditors are more clearly defined than those of shareholders, and therefore are not as difficult to enforce through the courts. In the past, corporate boards and managements have had an advantage in communicating through the media to influence shareholders or to shape public opinion. Advances in communications, especially through internet outlets and social media sites, have leveled the playing fields to a significant degree. It has become much easier for dissident shareholders to bring issues to the attention of other shareholders and to influence public opinion about certain issues. Among senior managers and board members, concern about their professional reputations has increased as a result. Media exposure can act as an important incentive for management to pursue policies that are consistent with the interests of shareholders and avoid egregious related party transactions. In 2003, the U.S. SEC mandated that U.S. registered mutual funds institute policies and procedures to ensure that the proxies they hold for investors in their funds are voted in the best interests of fund investors. Prior to this, many funds that held shares for investors failed to devote resources to fulfill their responsibility to vote proxies. Funds in the United States are also required to disclose their proxy voting records. Overall, the increased focus on the importance of good corporate governance has given rise to a new industry focused on corporate governance, which includes firms that advise funds on proxy voting and corporate governance matters. Firms that provide ratings of companies' corporate governance practices offer another avenue to influence managements to better address the interests of shareholders.